you know things in advance. And there are some things that I've known for months and months and months, and I've been goading and prompting but you know, you hang in there long enough, it'll happen. It'll show up. And so I'm so honored. I was telling Brother Coleman today, I said, man, I said, we are so blessed. You know, we got a good crew. We do. We have a good crew. And I'm honored and just so thrilled to pastor this church because you guys make it happen. But part of my job as a pastor is to teach you and to equip you with the word so that you have a clear understanding. And so you really need to have a clear understanding about the person of the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and how He does it. All right? How He does it. So let's begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at this classic portion of text. And we're going to do this series in little bite-sized segments. We're not going to chew off the whole thing in one bit. It's impossible. Can't do it. Because his ministry is so vast and so broad. So we're going to take it little chunks at a time. Okay? Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, writing to a Gentile church, says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now, the one thing that I want you to understand is all of us are ignorant about many different things, excuse me, from time to time. So ignorance is not necessarily bad. But if you stay ignorant, that's when it really gets to be bad. The sad thing is there are many Christian people who've been in Christ for decades and still don't understand the person, the personhood, or the way the Holy Spirit does things. And so I'm going to do my best with His assistance to show you how He works so that you can recognize Him when He endeavors to do something or say something or motivate you to help somebody. And it's important that we understand this because there are many things that we come into contact with on a consistent basis that portray themselves to be the manifestation or the working of the Holy Spirit when really it's not. Now, here's what I'll propose to you in beginning this series. If you're not familiar with what's true and what's real and what's genuine, you will never be able to spot a counterfeit. If you don't know what a $100 bill looks like, there's no way you're going to catch a counterfeit. Amen. Back in Missouri, I had an account that I called on. It was a candy and tobacco wholesaler. His name was Albert Graham, and he was in the hood. I mean, St. Louis has a real hood. Erie's got neighborhoods. St. Louis had the hood. And part of my territory was East St. Louis. That was real gangland. See, and the great thing about East St. Louis, Illinois, was when I had that as my territory, I had it all to myself. Everybody else was scared to death to go over there. But I was cool. I just didn't go over there at night. So... But anyway, Albert Graham was one of my accounts, and he was a wholesaler in the hood in St. Louis. And in his office, he had on his wall counterfeit bills that his employees had taken over the years. And one of those bills stood out. It was so funny. It was a $1 bill that had been blown up, like 30% bigger than a normal $1 bill, and it had 20s pasted in the corners. And I said, Mr. Graham, you got to be kidding. That's a joke, right? He said, no, one of my employees took that. I said, it didn't even look like legal tender. It's 30% bigger than it's supposed to be and got 20s. You can see them taped in the corners. I thought, boy, whoever took that bill was either crazy or had no idea. Must have been a kid. Well, he didn't tell me who it was. See, he had his family working in the wholesale business, but they couldn't spot a counterfeit if their life depended on it. Well, sad to say, there's some Christian people who are the same way. Amen. There's some Christian people who are the same way. Why? They're not familiar with the genuine, the true, the real, the person of the Holy Spirit and how He works. So, that's what we're going to explore. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So if God didn't want them ignorant, He doesn't want you ignorant. Amen. Now notice that the word gifts, if you have a King James Version of the New Testament, is italicized. Whenever you find that in the New Testament, that simply means that that word is not in the original manuscript or the original text, whether it be Greek or Aramaic, but was added by the translators to help clarify the meaning of that verse. Now, the word spiritual is the Greek word pneumatikos. The word pneumatikos simply means things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. And so if you read this verse the way it was written, Paul said, now concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And so my job is to give you a little bit of information. Notice verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Now, we'll come back and look at these verses, verses 3 through 6, later in this lesson. But suffice it to say, Paul is not just talking about spiritual gifts in these verses. He's talking about things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. And so he's talking about gifts, ministries, and operations. Or more technically, manifestations, ministries, and operations. All of these things we'll touch upon, but we're going to focus on the manifestation part. All right? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Hey, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is important. It would not be in the New Testament. Now, I grew up in the denominational church, and we never, ever touched upon 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We skipped it. We went right to 13, talked about love, love, love. Skipped 14, and then went to 15, talked about the resurrection. Okay. Now, these verses are not written just to hold the pages up or to make the Bible thicker. God does not want us to be ignorant concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's begin at verse 7. Notice this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, in your Bibles, underline the word to, T-O, in that sentence. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Now, I want you to know that the reference to manhood does not mean males. It means mankind. And you'll see as we get into some other things that God does use women. All you ladies say amen.
Amen.
All right? I'm not of that rigid mindset that, well, God can't use a woman. Yeah, tell your mama that. Amen. Say that to your mama. Yeah, we all know better than that. Amen. There were many women that God used in the Old and New Testament. In fact, many of them are named specifically by Paul the Apostle.
Yes.
For the work that they've done for Christ.
Amen.
And some of them were pastors.
Amen.
See, and there are people who are just plain ignorant. That's all it is. Well, God can't use a woman. Yeah, yeah, okay. You're showing me how ignorant you are. Underline that word to, and in the margin of your Bible, write through. Through. Now, the word gifts that you find in the New Testament is the Greek word charisma, and it literally means endowments or ability that goes beyond your own ability. I want you to understand this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit do not become your possession to do with what you will. They're not gifts like birthday gifts, Christmas gifts, graduation gifts. See, if my wife gives me a birthday gift, it becomes my possession. I can do whatever I want with that thing. You know, if it's a necktie, I can wear it or I can give it away because it's mine. It's my gift. Things of the Spirit are not that way. They do not become your possession to do with what you will. Now, there have been some people, I've met them over the years, you know, they fall into what I call the space cadet category. And I met a man many, many years ago, and he's talking to me, and he's got this wild-eyed expression on his face. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to be nice. I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. But in my mind, I'm thinking, boy, something wrong with this guy. You know, eyes all big, bugged out. And he said to me, he said, "Wow, brother, I've got all 9 gifts of the Spirit." And I thought, woo, space cadet, space cadet. My space cadet meter was going off. Well, nobody has all 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. What you have is the person of the Holy Spirit. And he can show up any way he wants to.
All right.
But it's not your gift to do with what you will. See, there have been times the Holy Spirit has manifested himself in my life. And I wish I could do that every day. I wish I could turn it on like a light switch.
All right.
And prophesy at the drop of a hat. But I can't. I wish I could have a word of knowledge every time I ministered to somebody who was sick. I went to a church one time in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, St. John's Holy Church. And I went there, and before I got there, I knew people had certain conditions. And it was all new to me. This is strange. I'm thinking, wow, what was that? One person had pain so severe, it was like somebody put a band around their head and just twisted. Another person had a pain in their side that felt like fire going up and down. And I just knew before I ever showed up. Didn't know anybody. As far as the physical condition goes. And so afterwards, I preached, I taught, and then I said, well, I'm going to pray for people. If you need healing, come up, we'll lay hands on you. First woman I laid hands on, I said, what can I pray for? She said, I got this thing, this pain in my head. It's like there's a band around my head, and it's just getting tried. And I'm like, whoa. The second lady I prayed for, I said, what's with you? She said, I got this pain in my side. It's like fire going up and down my leg. I'm like, whoa. Well, how did I know that? The Holy Spirit. But I can't do that every day. I wish I could. Now, there are some people who will give you the impression that they can. But I have news for you. They can't.
Amen.
That's not the Holy Spirit in manifestation. But if you don't know the real thing, how will you spot something that's not genuine? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If some of this is over your head, hang with me. I'm going to make it plain. Everybody say, I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah, beginning with verse 7. All righty. Everybody got it? All right, notice verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to or through every man. Now, this is what's important. This is why I'm teaching this class. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is not restricted to pulpit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every woman, to profit withal. See, the Holy Spirit will do things, say things, and reveal things to you that have nothing to do with church. There are times He'll reveal things to you that'll get you out of hot water. There are times He will say things to you that'll encourage you and keep you out of depression. There are times He will do things through you to bring deliverance to other people. But if you're of this mindset that the Holy Ghost only moves on Sunday morning after we've done praise and worship, you're going to miss it. Are you with me? The Holy Spirit can move while you're driving down the road in your car. He done it with me more than once. And it saved my life. Are you with me? So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to or through every man to profit withal. Now, notice verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, now in the Greek it's plural, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, notice this phrase, severally as he will. Severally as he will. This is key. The Holy Spirit will distribute these endowments as he wills, not as we will. You cannot turn these things on and off like a light switch. The Holy Spirit will do these things as he wills. Now, for understanding and clarification, here's how we can separate these gifts or manifestations so that we can understand them. There are three gifts or manifestations that say something. There are three gifts or manifestations that reveal something. There are three gifts or manifestations that do something. And so I categorize them like this: vocal gifts, revelation gifts, power gifts. And all of these manifestations are the same Holy Spirit. And He will operate these manifestations as He wills in individual lives, in ministries, and He'll operate them differently. The biggest mistake you can make in life is trying to be somebody else. Now, you can follow somebody's faith. You can pattern your life after the good things that you see in other people. But you'll never be that person. There are unique gifts, talents, abilities that God has given you. Let God use you the way He's graced you. All right? And Lonzo and I were talking about this yesterday. You know, that's a common mistake that people make, trying to be somebody else. No, you can pattern your life after good things, but be yourself. You'll never be successful being anybody but you. Amen. You know, God cares about you so much that He graced you with unique gifts, talents, and abilities, and now He has the Holy Spirit to supplement what you already have to take you and make you effective in whatever He's assigned you to do. He'll grace you beyond your ability. And see, that's the problem. Many times we try to become so educated, so erudite, so smart that we have it all figured out. Well, I don't care how smart you are, there are some things you will never be able to handle on your own. That's why Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'll not leave you orphans. I'll send you another comforter. That word comforter means helper. And He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to see how the Holy Spirit operates. So, three gifts that say something, three gifts that reveal something, three gifts that do something. Now, we're going to talk about the vocal gifts this morning. There are three gifts that say something. And those are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Now, we had a bit of that this morning in the service. When Erica was speaking in other tongues. Now, what is other tongues? It's a language you don't understand. It's plain and simple. It comes out of your spirit. The Bible says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. All of us who are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit have the ability to pray in other tongues. Well, I don't see the benefit of that. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. Do you think there's benefit in speaking to God? I do. It also says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. That means builds himself up. I think there's benefit to that. And it also says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks divine secrets or mysteries with God. I think that'd be a pretty neat thing to do, don't you? But so many times we're limited by our own intellect, our own understanding. Listen, if there's anything you need to realize in life, listen to me now, I want you to get this. I don't care who you are or where you are in life. Keep learning. Keep learning. Because in spite of what you know, you ain't that smart. Did you hear me? Keep learning. In spite of what you know, you're not that smart. And I can speak from experience. You know, I've graduated high school, college, Bible college. I know some things, but I'm not that smart. Okay? There are things that God can do in a moment that I'll never be able to figure out in a lifetime. And we're going to see these things as we progress. All right? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's talk about these vocal gifts. And this is very important. You need to understand the genuine, the real, so you'll not be fooled by a counterfeit. What is prophecy? Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we're going to look at the first three verses. 1 Corinthians 14. Everybody there? Amen. Notice what it says. Follow after love and desire spiritual. There again, the word gifts is italicized. Desire things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no man understands. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. But he that prophesies speaks to men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, look at me. I want you to see this. Prophecy is just one way that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself. But simple prophecy, in its simple form, has nothing to do with the future. Has nothing to do with the future. He that prophesies speaks to men to do one of three things: to edify, to exhort, or to comfort. There's no revelation at all associated with the gift of simple prophecy. Prophecy is an inspired utterance in a language that you know. Now, hang with me. I'm going to show you how this works. Everybody with me? Amen. You know, thank God for the Word, because all the answers are in the book. You know, and the great thing is we have open book tests. That's the only kind of test that God gives. Open book. Open book. Now, you'd be a fool to live your life trying to pass all these tests without opening the book. You're going to fail. And tests that are failed will be repeated. Right? Okay? Prophecy. He that speaks to men to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. It's an inspired utterance in a language that you know that does one of those three things. Now, it is different from diverse kinds of tongues. Now, what is diverse kinds of tongues? Do you realize that diverse kinds of tongues is a ministry gift? I'm serious. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 14. Back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. You know what I always say when I teach on these verses? If God has set these things in the church, who are we to arbitrarily remove them? Well, brother, I've gone to the cemetery, the seminary, and I've gotten my advanced degree, and based on my theological training, I have decided that the gifts of the Spirit don't operate anymore, and I become smarter than God. In essence, that's what you're saying. What you're really doing is displaying your ignorance of the Bible. Amen? Now, we all have friends, associates, and some of you may be in that camp right now where you believe that the Holy Ghost stopped speaking to people years ago. Just smile, look straight ahead, nobody will know it's you. But listen, there's nothing in the Scripture that indicates that. And the one portion of Scripture that people cling to, if you study it, really it says just the opposite. Now, I don't know if you realize or not, I'm going to talk a little theological term with you. There's a good segment of the body of Christ that is what we refer to as cessationist. They're cessationist. They believe that God has stopped speaking to people. And whenever King James translated the New Testament into King James English, God stopped speaking to people. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that indicates that he stopped speaking to people. And they'll pull verses out of the context. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, well, you know, when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. And it specifically talks about prophecy and tongue. Well, Paul said we know in part and we see in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then we'll see face to face. I don't know about you, but we ain't face to face yet. And if prophecy has passed away and tongues have passed away, then knowledge must also have passed away. Well, you know, you can't stand on that verse. All right? And so we need to understand how the Holy Spirit manifests himself. Because I'm telling you what, when you understand him, it is a blessing. It is truly a blessing. So what is prophecy? An inspired utterance in a language that you know, that edifies, that exhorts, that comforts. It's different than diverse kinds of tongues, because diverse kinds of tongues needs an interpretation, like this morning. All right? Diverse kinds of tongues is an inspired utterance in a language you don't know. And unless there's interpretation, all anybody knows is you got blessed. And so we have to be adult in our thinking and not do things in such a way that cause confusion. All right? And so when there is a tongue, there needs to be an interpretation. If there's not an interpretation, that's fine. The Bible doesn't say don't speak in tongues anymore. Just don't do it in the public assembly. But we need that ministry gift. If God has set these gifts in the church, who are we to arbitrarily remove them? And there's such grace and such blessing that come when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And he does some things that minister life to other people. Okay? All right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. He that prophesies speaks to men to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Notice verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. This is the purpose of that vocal gift, that the church may receive edifying. What is edifying? Building up. Building up. When a prophecy comes, it'll edify. It'll build you up. Or it'll exhort you. Or it'll comfort you. That's an inspired utterance in a language that you know. But there are times the Holy Spirit will give you an utterance in a language you don't know. Then he will always give someone the interpretation, and the interpretation will do the same thing, edify, build up, comfort. And I was so glad when Pat this morning said, I got the interpretation, because I had it. But I like other people being used, not me. Notice it's interpretation of tongues, not translation of tongues. There are times the message in tongues can be long and the interpretation is short. But the effect will be the same thing. It edifies, it exhorts, it comforts. Are you with me? Notice there's no revelation in there. Now, let me show you this gift in operation. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. This is just a small bite that we're going to chew on this morning. I'm not going to teach for a long time. We'll save some for next week. How's that? Y'all still with me? Did you check out already? All right, there you go. Acts chapter 13. We're talking about the Holy Spirit and his gifts, specifically vocal gifts, gifts that say something. Acts chapter 13, notice verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Notice verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Now, these men were in a meeting and they were ministering to the Lord. Now, what does it mean to minister to the Lord? The word minister means to serve. Well, these men were in a time of prayer, in a time of praise, in a time of worship. And in that environment, the Holy Ghost said something. Now, how did He say it? Did He boom from heaven with a megaphone? I don't think so. He said it through one of these vocal gifts, either prophecy or diverse kinds of tongues with interpretation. And what was said was, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul." Notice this, "for the work whereunto I have called them." Notice that they were already called. I have called them, past tense. When this word came, it was not a surprise to Barnabas and Saul. They had already been called. They knew what their assignment was. Now, the Holy Ghost said something in this meeting to publicly affirm and to confirm what God had already told them in their hearts. Now, I'm going to fast forward just a little bit and share something with you. Whenever someone prophesies to you, and you don't know anything about this thing, and there's nothing in your heart about this thing, you know what you do with that prophecy? You put it on the shelf. Or, if you know better, you put it in the round file. That's called file 13. That's the garbage. All right? Now, I'll tell you a story years ago. You know, my wife and I were married in 1979. And shortly thereafter, the Lord had let me know that He had a call upon my life. There was an assignment I had to fulfill. And He wanted me to go to a particular Bible college. And so I knew it in my heart like I know my name. I know what the Lord told me to do. And so I proceeded to share that with some of the ministers that I was hanging out with. And every last one of them tried to talk me out of it. To the man, every one of them tried to talk me out of it. So now I'm getting a little concerned here. But I know the voice of the Lord. I know the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know what He told me to do. And so I had my shield of faith up. I had my sword of the Spirit ready. And I was ready. I was going to Bible college come hell or high water. And the only person whose word mattered was my father-in-law, my wife's daddy. Because I just married his baby. He got 15 other babies, but I married this one. He was the only one that I was concerned about what he thought. But I was determined in my heart, even if he tells me no, I'm still going. Some of y'all need to get some guts. Gumption, chutzpah, whatever you want to call it. You need to stand up, and as my wife said this morning, you need to tell the people, you know, I taught on resistance last month. Some of y'all need to do it. Just stand up and resist. Quit falling prey to what the devil throws in your path. Resist. And here, the Lord had revealed something to me, and all these guys are trying to talk me out. Preachers! Trying to talk me out of it. And so I got this battle raging in my mind. So I go to my father-in-law, I said, "Elder Carr, I said, the Lord has instructed me. I know I have a call on my life. He told me to go to Bible school. Now I'm stiffening myself. I'm getting ready." And he said, "Yeah, that'd be a good thing. I think you ought to do that." I'm like, praise God. Somebody other than me can hear from heaven. You know what I mean? And so I didn't care what people told me. I knew what the Lord told me to do. Now, not long after that, I was living in Newcastle at the time. And so I had come back to Erie and talked to Elder Carr, and I'm back at our church in Newcastle. One of the sisters, listen to me now, this is where we all live, had a word from the Lord for me. And she said, "Bill, I'd like to talk to you. I got a word from the Lord for you." I'm like, "Okay, great." And she said, "You're going to be a teacher in our Bible school." She said, "You're going to teach this class and that class. You're going to teach this class and that class. And you're going to teach this class." And they're supposed to open this Bible school in the spring. I said, "Okay." Then she said to me, these were her exact words, "Did you notice how I didn't ask you if you wanted to do this?" That's what she said. I said, well, I kind of picked up on that. She said, the Lord showed it to me. That's what she said. Now, the Lord had told me to do something else. And here this woman's prophesying to me that I'm going to be a teacher in their Bible school. I'm going to teach this class, that class, this class. She's got the curriculum all laid out. And you know what I did? Now, I got one of two choices. Either be nice or be ugly. How many of you know that ugly doesn't look good on you? Amen. Ugly doesn't look good. Ugly never looks good on you. And so I decided to be nice. And I said to her, well, praise the Lord. That's exactly what I said. Praise the Lord. Now, I didn't feel it necessary for me to explain to her what the Lord had placed in my heart. Because she was so adamant, so firm, the Lord showed it to me, son. This is what you're going to do. Well, the only problem with that was the Lord hadn't showed it to me. And that's what you need to understand. When God does say something by a vocal gift, listen, He'll have already put your mail in your mailbox. You will know if it's from God or not. I can't tell you, please don't put yourself in this position. Many, many years ago, I'm on staff, my wife and I at a church in St. Louis, and a precious young lady comes up to me, Pastor Bill, can I talk to you? Sure. She said, you know so-and-so? Yeah. Well, he prophesied to me and said, the Lord told him that I'm supposed to be his wife. I said, really? I said, let me ask you a question. What did the Lord say to you? He said nothing to me. I said, well, you better not marry him because of what he told you. Hey, it happens all the time. I said, the Lord ain't said nothing to you. You better wake up. Don't you dare marry some guy because he said, the Lord told me such and such. Amen. Half the time, these guys wouldn't know the Lord if he walked down the street in a red suit and slapped him upside the head. That's kind of an extreme example. But God will always deposit your mail in your mailbox. Amen. You will know. Amen. The primary way the Holy Spirit leads us is from the inside out. Amen. Not from the outside in. Amen. Romans chapter 8 says, if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then He that dwells in you will quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. They that are led by the Spirit of God, and He's in you, they are the sons of God. So He leads us from the inside out. He never leads you from the outside in. Amen. Something out here may confirm what He's already said in here. But if you don't have it on the inside, just forget about it. Don't act ugly. Ugly doesn't look good on you. Be nice. Just put it on the shelf, because maybe it's for a future date, or put it in the round file. Well, when that woman prophesied to me about being a teacher in her Bible school, I immediately put it in the round file. Went on and did what the Lord told me to do, and several months later I wrote her a letter. Hey, hallelujah, I'm down here in Bible school. That's what the Lord told me to do. Come to find out they never had a Bible school. Had I listened to her, it would have set me back 2 years. 2 years. Never had a Bible school. But the Lord showed it to her. Uh-huh. Y'all with me?
Amen.
The Lord showed it to her. So here in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They already had the call. They knew about it. And when this was confirmed, they prayed some more, laid hands on them, and sent them away. Now, this vocal manifestation or gift was accompanied with another manifestation or gift called a word of wisdom. It was more than just simple prophecy. It revealed God's future purpose and plan for these men. So here you have either prophecy or diverse kinds of tongues with interpretation and a word of wisdom. Now, here's something I want you to understand and write this down if you have to. When prophecy comes, it must be judged. Now, I don't mean that in a hard sense, but you got to judge these things. Don't be a fool. Judge them, number one, in the light of what God's Word says. Judge them, number two, in light of what God has spoken to you on the inside. You don't judge the person. You judge what was said. Because like most people, we are not perfect. As often as I try to be particular and exact when I do something, there are times I make mistakes. Y'all with me?
Amen.
But there's some people who make more mistakes than others. Okay? And so you judge what's said. Just because somebody says, "Yay, thus saith the Lord," I don't jump to it. Now, I don't take the other extreme that many people have taken, and because the Bible tells us not to despise prophecy. Some people throw the baby out with the bathwater. "Well, we ain't having nobody prophesy in here. We ain't having all that." Well, you're going to miss out on a great blessing. You're going to miss what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And you're going to trudge along in your own human effort, working and working and pushing and trying to get things done, when if you would just listen to the Holy Spirit, boom, He could do it just like that. But you've already excluded Him, and so He'll let you work on your own. I don't know about you, I need His help. I want His help. And so if there's a prophecy or a tongue with an interpretation that edifies, that exhorts, that comforts, I'm all for it. Are you with me? I'm all for it. Y'all still with me so far?
Amen.
All right, let me show you how this works. Turn with me in your Bibles to Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. And I think some of you can perhaps locate yourself here. Job 32. How do you know if the Holy Spirit wants to say something through you? I'll show you that. Now, I'm the kind of guy, and, you know, perhaps because I grew up in a denominational setting, I always, I'm a stickler for the Word. I'm a stickler for the book. This is our guide for faith and practice, the Bible. And then I got around Pentecostal people. And there were manifestations and things that went on. And I, as long as I could find it in the Bible, we're cool. We're good, Ron. We're good. We're good. But when you start getting beyond the book, that's what I leave you. Now, I don't mean physically leave you, but I disconnect. I'm not receiving that. Okay? And I've been in circles and I've been around some things that were not scriptural, not biblical. That doesn't mean we throw the baby out with the bathwater. We just keep walking with the Word. Okay? Keep walking with the Word. Realize that people are imperfect. Now, I'm going to show you how you know if the Lord has given you an inspired utterance. Job chapter 32. There's a young man named Elihu who begins to speak, and this is the key character in the book of Job. This man tells the truth about what really happened. I don't have time to teach the book, but let me show you what happened to Elihu. Notice chapter 32. Somebody's got a radio, cell phone, something on. Chapter 32, notice verse 8. Job 32, 8. Well, let's notice verse 7. Elihu said this, "I said days should speak, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." In other words, Elihu had stood there for all of this time, listened to these men reason out what really happened to Job, and none of them were right, including Job himself. And Elihu said, "You know, I didn't say anything because you guys are older than me. Days should speak, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But there's a spirit in man, and that's where God gives men understanding." And he goes on to upbraid these men and simply tell them, "You don't know what you're talking about. See, great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment." Elihu said that. "Great men are not always wise." So just because someone's elder or an elder does not mean that they necessarily know what they're talking about.
Amen.
And I don't say that disrespectfully. I say that truthfully and honestly. But notice what Elihu said over in verse 18. He's talking to these men. And notice what happens to Elihu. Job 32:18. "For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constrains me. Behold, my belly is as wine which has no vent. It's ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer." Now, what literally happened to Elihu at this time was that he was in this situation and the Spirit of God rose up on the inside of him. And he said, "I am full of matter." The word in the Hebrew was milah. And literally what that means is I'm full of words. Or I'm full of something that needs to be said. The word milah means a discourse, speaking, or a talking word. So it rose up on the inside of him. And Elihu said it like this, I got to open my mouth or I'm going to bust. Are you with me? I got to let this thing out. And so he proceeded to tell the truth about what really happened to Job. And this guy spoke for a long time. Now, this is normally the way the Holy Spirit works with me. I remember years ago when we were on staff in St. Louis and we were doing praise and worship. We were ministering to the Lord and something rose up on the inside of me. And we were singing a song, Anointing, Fall on Me. Y'all remember that one? Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall. And these words rose up on the inside of me. Now, I'm full. Now, I don't know how any other way to describe it, but it was on the inside of me. And all I had was the first sentence. And so we understand how the Holy Spirit operates. So I got the pastor's attention. And I said, you know, I've got something to say. He knows me. He trusts me. He said, give it. And so all I had was one sentence. Now, here's where many people disconnect. They don't want to say something and look bad. Y'all with me? Yeah, I don't want to get up and say something stupid. Hey, that's the way I've always thought. Well, trust me. There are times the Holy Spirit will use you because He wants to bless somebody. Somebody needs to hear something. They might be sitting right next to you. And they need to hear it. And so, all I had was one sentence, and so I gave it. And as I started to speak, the rest of it came. And this is what I said. The anointing comes many different ways. It comes by worship. It comes by praise. But it also comes by doing the word. That's acting in obedience to the things that you've heard. And the anointing will increase. Yes, it'll grow, and out of your life it'll begin to flow. To minister life, to minister love, to bring God's power down from above. And I thought, woo, glory to God, that's good. Now, I didn't stay up all night figuring that out. Are you with me? That was an inspired utterance in a language that I knew. And it edified, it exhorted, it comforted. Now, that's what simple prophecy is. Now, it does not have to rhyme. Are y'all with me? It doesn't have to rhyme. One time my wife got up and prophesied. She said, I got a word. Pastor said, go ahead, Peg, give it. And you know what she said? Grace has been extended, but now it's ended. That was it. Grace has been extended, but now it's ended. In other words, somebody need to get the game together. Okay. They've been getting by on what we call sloppy grace, sloppy grace, sloppy grace. Not doing what they know they should be doing, but, oh, well, God still bless me. God still bless me. Well, wait a minute. You better straighten that thing up. Y'all with me?
Amen.
So prophecy is an inspired utterance in a language that you know that edifies, that exhorts, that comforts. Simple prophecy has nothing to do with the future. There are times that prophecy will ride with another manifestation, word of knowledge. Word of wisdom, discernment, something like that. But that's rare. Are you with me? And so it is the will of God that all of us speak to each other, especially in a corporate assembly, a word that'll edify, that'll lift people up, that'll comfort them. And it's happened with me many, many, many times. But it's not something that I pursue. It's not something that I plan. It's not something that I, you know, it just happens. You know what I mean? It just happens. I don't plan on it. Now, If I was trying to do something or I had a different motivation, then I would talk like that all the time and say, the Lord told me to tell. Well, He ain't told me nothing. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Are you with me? I got to stand in front of Him one day and give an account. And I'm not going to get up there, well, Jesus, you know, I sort of made that up because I thought it was good. No. I've seen too many people's lives ruined because somebody prophesied to them, thus saith the Lord, and the Lord ain't said squat. Amen. Y'all know what that means, right? The Lord didn't say anything. I've seen people lose their ministries. I've seen them lose their marriages. I've seen them lose financially. Now, if you don't know what real prophecy is, how will you spot the counterfeit? Now, I had a guy many years ago. this guy was slick. This guy was a preacher, guest preacher at a church. Guest evangelist, you know. And I'm young. I'm like a sponge. I'm hungry for God. I'm soaking up everything I can get. And this guy got me alone by myself. And he said, he had like a lisp. You know, not to make fun of anybody who has a lisp, but he says, "Brother, I want to pray for you. The Lord gave me a word for you." I'm like, "Hey, pray, man." And he Victor, if I could, you're my helper here. He said, "I want to pray for these fingers." And he just put the other ones down. He wanted both these fingers. He said, "Give me your fingers." I said, "Okay." He said, "I'm going to pray for you, brother, that God will anoint these fingers and that you'll go in your wallet and give me $10. Hey, this is where we live, guys. That's what he said. "I have a word for you. I'm going to pray that God will anoint these fingers." And just then I said, "Well, hold on. Whoa. And I reached in my pocket. I opened my wallet. Did like that. I put it back in there. I said, "Pray, brother, pray." "Oh, God, bless this servant. Oh, you've anointed him. Blah, 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 blah." You know, he liked to do all this stuff. Yeah. And when he was done, I took my wallet out and opened it up, and it was still empty. See, back then I didn't have the tact, decorum, and you know that I have now. I'd blow the boat up. I didn't care. And I said, "Well, nothing in there, brother." I said, "You know, the Bible does say if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat." I shouldn't have said that, but I did. "Wah, wah, 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 the laborer is worthy of his hire." You know, he's trying to backtrack. Listen, the guy was trying to con me out of $10. If he was a man of integrity, he would have just said simply, "Brother, I have a need. I need $10. Could you help me out?" If I'd have had $10, man, if I didn't have, I'd have gone and got it. You know what I mean? But he tried to con me out of $10 under the guise of having a word from the Lord and praying for me. Listen, my friend, that may be an extreme case, but they're out there.
Amen.
They're out there. Okay? Somebody has a word from the Lord for you. First, check with Zibuk. Second, check with your spirit. Okay? And if it confirms something, then you be led from the Holy Spirit from the inside out. And I could tell you stories like this all month long, but I'm not going to do it. But I was in that same church service, and the Lord doesn't do this. I've prophesied on occasion. Are you with me? I don't do it every week. But I was in that same church service, and there again during worship and praise. There's something special about that time when you're ministering to the Lord. What you need to understand is, don't just minister to the Lord here on Sunday morning. You need to do it through the week. And as you're in that atmosphere where you're ministering to the Lord, He'll speak to you just like He spoke to them. Just like He's spoken to me. And so, you know, I had that one prophecy. And then one morning we were singing about praise, we're worshiping the Lord, and the Holy Spirit, there again, I was full on the inside. I knew I had something that would edify, that would exhort, that would comfort. And so the word of the Lord came to me, and I said, "Worship and praise. That's where you need to be. Worship and praise, that's what causes the enemy to flee. Worship and praise, that's what you need to do when all hell breaks loose and the devil gets on you. Worship and praise. It'll change your life. It'll rid your household of hatred and strife. Worship and praise is where mercy and grace abound. Worship and praise will cause you to live on higher ground." Well, I didn't think that up. That came by the Holy Ghost. I wasn't expecting it. And the interesting thing is, when it came and I got full in my spirit, all I had was sentence number one. It took faith to get the rest of it out. Are you with me? And so I know that some of you, on occasion, have had things in your spirit rise up, and you didn't know what to do with it. Now you know.
Amen.
Now you know. Mix faith with that thing. Have confidence that what the Lord has given you will bless, will edify, will comfort. And don't worry about making a mistake. Around here, if you make a mistake, I'll help you. I'll clean it up. Don't worry about it. Amen? I got no problem with getting up behind somebody and saying, that wasn't right. I've done it before. Are you with me? I've done it before. Have no problem. And normally people who say the wrong thing have a bad motivation. Their motive is wrong. And I told people, you got nerve enough to say that stuff, I got nerve enough to correct it. Because that's my job. And so I rarely have that happen. You know, but folk know better. And then I had somebody one time, this is another church, said, I can't believe you said that. You had nerve enough to say it. Well, they had nerve enough to prophesy it. I had nerve enough to straighten it out. Why? Because people will be impacted by what's said. Do you know the Word of God is powerful?
Yes.
It's alive and powerful. And it can change a life in a moment. Change a life in a moment. Change somebody's direction. Bring healing to their body. Bring them out of depression. Just completely change their life in a moment. And so these are things that are precious that you have to cherish. But the Holy Spirit needs our cooperation if He's going to get the job done.
Amen.
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 And so the next time you're sitting here and you're full in your spirit and the Lord is giving you a word, even if it's in other tongues, that's okay. Somebody will interpret it. Are you with me? Now, we'll continue with this next week. Are y'all with me? Did you learn anything today? Okay. Amen. So don't disconnect just because, well, they don't do that in our church. Well, there are other things they may not do at your church. Yes, ma'am. Amen. All right. We'll do that right after the service. All right? Okay. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. The one thing I want you to realize is the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's been called alongside to help. He is the one who guides us.